Not yet.
Well, that was fun. So, as it's obvious, I got here like half hour ago from work. Pretty obvious. But,
So, sacrifice.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, kind of a big theme of this talk, kind of just as I came from my real world job, I'm here to take my faith job seriously now. And, you know, this whole weekend is kind of built to take away from that, kind of built to give you that escape from real life, give me that escape from working right down the street, you know? So, whether you're a freshman, junior, senior, sophomore, you know, we're all here and we all have very different experiences, but I'm going to share with you, like, my plan for the future. I mean, I don't want to intimidate you by saying that, like, you don't have to have your life figured out, because I sure don't. So, for my own future right now, I'm a senior in high school. I go to Father Lopez in Daytona. And I don't know what I want out of life. I have absolutely no idea. But that's kind of cool, you know, no pressure, kind of just go along with it, you know. So I do have kind of a basic idea. You know, I want to go to college, I want to get a good job, I want to be happy, maybe start a family, maybe meet a girl, you know, awesome girl, you know, so I can take care of her and do all the dishes and, you know, all that fun stuff. So, you know, that's all great, but the world isn't going to listen to your plan. The world's going to do everything to stop your plan. And for me, it's definitely done that. With piles of homework, actual work, and I'm also a member of two sports teams, cross country and track. That piles up really quick, you know. There's only 24 hours in a day, but it really doesn't feel like that, you know. I have to go from school to practice, back home, sometimes to work on the weekends, find time to do homework that'll never get done, study for tests that I won't study for, you know. But it always turns out okay, no matter how much stress. I'm surprised I don't have gray hairs yet. So, you know, kind of the big question here is, what's God got to do with your life plan, you know? You're not sitting there in church and you're like, hey God, should I go to UF or FSU? Let me know. UF's doing better this season in football, but I'm kind of liking FSU's colors more. What do you think? That's really not what God is. God has his own plan for you. He already has it laid out from the moment you're born to the moment you die. And that's pretty terrifying. The fact that he knows the next 50 to maybe 70 years of my life, if I'm lucky, and I don't even know what I'm going to do tomorrow. So I'm going to read you a passage from this cool little book here called the Bible. And I'm not the biggest Bible reader, but every now and then I pick it up and I find something pretty cool, and this is one of them. So if you want to find it later, this is the first chapter of Jeremiah, verses 4-5. The word of the Lord came to me. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. Dang. That's pretty heavy stuff. And it's full of it. A lot of it has more implications than you think. A lot of it's really heavy. But in this moment, God's addressing everyone individually. You, all of you. He's saying, before you were even born, the second you were conceived in your mom, sorry, PG-13 here, he knew you. He knew your name. He knew what sports team you like. He knew if you like nachos or not, you know? But he knows if you're gonna go to college or if you're gonna go into the seminary and become a brother or sister or a priest or something. Pretty cool. And that, for me, it terrifies me. The fact that my plan may be completely different from God's plan is so earth-shattering. Like, the fact that I've built up all these years to the point where I'm at now, where I'm getting ready to go into college, if God was just like, you know what? You know that 12 years that you spent sitting in a classroom bored out of your mind? Nah, we're just gonna go over here real quick, you know? That terrifies me. And what scares me even more is to think of the future plans he has for me. Maybe he wants me to be a priest, and I don't know if you can tell, but I don't have that priestly vibe. I kind of have a more kind of chill guy vibe. I'm pretty proud of that. But, whoa, I can't read my handwriting. So, and that's, the fact of the matter is, no matter what you're doing, God isn't going to fight you. He's not going to say you have to do things my way. But the reality is, his way is the best way, whether you like it or not. You know, his way is going to lead you to happiness. His way is going to lead you to what you want, even if you don't think you want it. And see, the big thing is people think maybe I have to be baptized to listen to God, to talk to God. And the fact is you don't, because he's always there. I don't know if you guys have seen it. I'm not a big art guy myself, but there's a picture of Jesus, right? And he's at this door, and this is so cool. But he's at this door, right? And he has like an old-timey lantern, like, you know, before you had your phone light, he had lanterns. And he's sitting at this door, and he has his hand up to knock on this wooden door. And the thing is, there's no handle on the door, right? So he can't grab it and open it. And that's symbolic of how he's not going to barge into your life and make you do what he thinks is right. He's going to knock and wait for you to let him in. And the question is, when are you going to let him in? So, in my life, you know, I haven't been the most religious person. For the first, like, 14 years of my life, I was, like, what they call submarine Catholic. I, like, surfaced every now and then at Mass, but then I would just kind of sink back under the water. And, you know, throughout my whole life, you know, God was always there. My parents always emphasized God, but I was kind of like Kanye to Taylor at the VMAs, if you guys are old enough to know that. Taylor was getting her award, and Kanye's like, wait, I'm going to let you finish, but Beyonce over here, like, that's how I feel. Like, when I was little, I was like, oh, church, but I kind of want to stay home, so you can wait over there while I do this, you know? And the thing is, that's not the way to live, because God knows all, and he knows more than you think you know, even if you think you know everything, which I do a lot of the time. And God is going to reach out to you whether you acknowledge it or not. Like, he's going to reach out to you not through a hand through the sky or a lightning bolt into a bush or something, but if he has, tell me, because that's pretty cool. No, sometimes it's in the weirdest ways. Like, funny thing, I was at work today, but it wasn't today, it was a couple months ago. I work the frozen food section of Winn-Dixie. I just kind of make sure everything looks nice while my hands are suffering from extreme frostbite. Oh, excuse me. But I was just sitting there one day, you know, doing my thing, and this like old guy comes up to me. He's like this tall, and I'm already like a tall human being, but this guy was short. So he's like bearded out. He's got his shopping cart with all of his stuff in it, and he's like, "Hey man, where's the chicken nuggets at?" And I'm like, "Do you mean like the blah 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 nuggets or these nuggets?" And he's like, "Oh, those nuggets." So I start walking him over there, and he's like, "Oh no, wait, I mean these." So I had to walk him all the way back across the store, and by this time I'm just done and like just hoping this guy finds what he wants and leaves so I can get back to my work. But so we find it. It was a Tyson boneless chicken bites or something like that. I'm sure. And he's like, "Oh, thanks, man." And then like he does the weirdest thing. He like reaches out and he like puts his hand on my shoulder, and I'm not used to physical contact at work. I kind of get in a state of mind where I'm focused on my work, and like anything disrupts me, I'm like, "What are you doing here?" But so he puts his hand on me and he like starts to pray, and like that was really weird because I didn't know if this dude was like, I didn't know if he was Muslim, but I would have known pretty soon if I'd been listening, but I was. I didn't know if he was Jewish. I didn't know if he was like a different form of Christianity. He didn't know I was Catholic, but he was taking the time out of his day, out of his night, when he could go eat those chicken nuggets, to pray with me. And you know, he finishes praying over me, and he's like, "God bless you, man." And he starts to walk away, and I'm like, "Thanks." And then I turn around and look at something, and I turn around, and he's just gone. Like, just gone. I was like, "Did you see this guy leave?" They're like, "No." And I'm like, "What? Like, what?" And that was like, I went to bed that night, and I was like, kind of freaking out. I'm like, "Am I seeing things? Am I okay? Like, too much work, not enough sleep. Because I get very defensive when stuff like that happens. I don't know if he's trying to call down a demon on me, but it seemed very innocent and very helpful. So I accepted it, and it was really great, you know. But just like that, you know, God's presence is going to be around you always, whether you choose to acknowledge it or not. And there's been many times in my life where I've chosen to not acknowledge it. And like I said before, the world isn't going to make it easy on you. The world doesn't want you to be happy, sadly, excuse me. The world wants you to feel like crap. The world wants you to be horrible. The world doesn't want you to succeed, basically. You know, you ever had a dream, like, to be, like, a professional football player, and you get there for the team, and you just don't make it, and everyone tells you you're bad? That's the world putting you down. But you just got to acknowledge that that's not your path, and you got to move on. And, so, there's kind of this big picture, right? Like the perfect plan for happiness. And the world's plan for happiness is, you know, something like Kanye, something like, I don't know, Drake, where you're like got all the bling, all the ice, all the cars, all the ladies, you know, hit albums all over your walls. But on the inside, you're empty, basically, when you live that kind of life. And, you know, in the end, that Maserati isn't going to fit into your grave. I'm sorry. It's just going to be you in there. But the life God calls you to live isn't one of possessions. It isn't one of greed. It isn't one of, what's the word? It isn't one of, like, self-deprecation. God wants you to live a life where you're free. He doesn't want you to be held down by anything. He wants you to fully embrace yourself in Him so He can guide you where you want to go. And that's not easy. It's not easy to let go of the world. It's not easy to let go of what you want, because we're only human, and God knows that. And that's why He's always there, knocking. I'm not done yet, but thank you. I appreciate it. And then, even on the inside, you know, we fight it ourselves, you know. Sometimes we blame it on the world, and we say, oh, I can't go to church because my teacher has a test for me, or I can't go do volunteer work, I gotta hang with my friends. But, you know, putting the blame on something is just kind of taking away your responsibility, you know. Part of becoming an adult is accepting your own responsibility. I know that's kind of heavy for all the fun I've had so far talking to you guys, but when you really can accept the blame for something, that's like a sign of maturity. When you can say, this is my fault, and it's no one else's fault but mine, you know. Taking responsibility, saying, that mistake is mine, and it's no one else's but mine, is something awesome. And I struggle with it, and I'm almost 18, so I'm almost legally an adult, and I can't do that. But, so, you're thinking, Mason, what does this all have to do with the weekend? We're sitting at tables, and you're talking about life. But the reality is, well, we may be in this bubble, you know, having a great time, and we all love, I love it in here. I know all my friends, all the team loves it in here, but the reality is that world is still out there. That world is waiting for you to come out and to tear you down, and take you off that path that God wants you on, or that you've decided for yourself. But that's what I said. This weekend is a time to stop that. It's a time to put everything on hold. That's why we put tech on hold. I would love to see what my friends are doing on Snapchat right now, but I'm not. Because I'm here with you guys, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, really. So, wow, I really need to work on my handwriting. This is horrible. All right, so, you gotta acknowledge the people in your life who help you with this stuff, too, because you never do it alone. Like, when Jesus came down, He didn't do it alone. He had 12 friends, and I have a lot of people in my life who push me to do the right thing, push me to succeed. Naming my parents, you know how parents are, where they're like, they always want you to be better off than them, and neither of my parents went to college, so they're like pushing the college apps and the getting the good grades, and I'm like, Mom, it's my senior year, chill out, I'm fine. And but I know in my heart that they're doing it because they love me and they want to see me succeed, but in that moment, I'm like, man, you don't get anything. Like, do you know what I go through? But then again, I don't know what they go through, because I'm just me and they're them. And this weekend is a time to listen to what God says to us, you know. It's time to ask God, you know, What do you want from us? What is my responsibility to take? What do you want me to do? You know, it may not come to you this weekend. It may come to you 2 months down the road. It may not even come to you in this, what's the word? Decade. I was thinking century for some reason. So, you know, anything can change you, you know. It doesn't have to be some big moment where someone's standing up here and they say some Bible verse and you're like, saved. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be that Hallmark movie moment, but by all means, if that's what you want, go for it. At some point, we're going to hear us call, and his call, and when he calls us, it's going to be your name specifically. He's going to say, Zach, I love you. You're cool. I'm just talking to Zach now. What was I going to say? He's going to say, Zach, I want you to do this. I want you to grow up and get married, get a cool job, you know, raise children in the faith and be a great dad. Or he might say to me, Mason, you're going to the seminary, you're becoming a priest or a brother, and you're going to serve that way. But either way, at some point, he'll let you know. And that's kind of the... I keep hitting this mic, like, I talk with my hands. So, I'm going to talk real quick about a... I'm going to talk real quick, sorry, about what you want on this weekend. You don't want to sit there and say nothing, because that's what I did on my first retreat, and I greatly regretted it. I kind of sat there and went with the feelings, because I didn't want to be here. So, whether you want to be here or not, I challenge you to really open up, you know, and that's extremely hard, and as outgoing as I may seem, I am introverted. I sometimes don't like to share my feelings or my opinions, but that's just a part of growing up, is accepting that you need to let others into your life so they can help you. And I hope you guys can allow us to do that, because I'm here for you. I know the team's here for you, and we just want to help you hear his calling for you, because he's calling you by name, and he wants to refine your life. Thank you.